You have your Bibles, we'll be in Exodus, the 20th chapter. So over the course of the next little bit that I have an opportunity to share, we'll be looking at the Ten Commandments to help to steer our hearts and minds in reflection and meditation before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Now we're going to look at the first commandment here today and how it can help us to reflect on the Lord's Supper and what we can learn to help guide our hearts. But let's have a little bit of context in the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. So we're going to start in the latter part of Exodus 19, starting in verse 20, to help to show kind of what was going on in the atmosphere at this time with the Israelites as the Lord was going to descend on Mount Sinai to give Moses and Aaron the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 20, it says, "The Lord descended on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who will approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, and the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring up Aaron with you, but the priests and the people must not force their way up to come up to the Lord, or they will break, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and he told them." So in Exodus chapter 19, there's kind of a couple interesting thoughts here before we get into the giving of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Exodus 20. There's actually two important things that are discussed. Before verse 20, one of the things that God commands of Moses and all the people is that the Israelites, all of them, are to wash themselves and cleanse themselves before God would even descend on Mount Sinai. The second thing that God tells Moses as he's up on the mountain with him is that there's limitations to who can come to the mountain. God labels the mountain as holy and warns anyone who tries to force their way up that the Lord will be against them. Now, these two things kind of do help to remind us in our time of reflection here that in order to be before the presence of God, in order to partake of the Lord's Supper, one of the things that we had to do was we had to ourselves be cleansed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We were washed and clothed in him because through the baptism that was ordained by Christ, it allows us to take him in. Also, we're here as the time of sanctification, of a time that's set apart, a time that is important to God, is a time that's holy, because what we're doing here is we're declaring the return of Jesus Christ. We're declaring his sacrifice, and we do this as a reminder of a promise that has been given to us by a holy God. Let's now look at Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. It says, starting in verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" And notice verse 3. Of course, what we kind of correlate with the first giving of the commandments, the first one here, "You shall have no other gods before me." Now, if you were actually to go and look at verse 3 in the original Hebrew, there's actually some really interesting language that God says here in the giving of the commandments to Moses. See, the word here for no other gods, for the word gods there in verse 3, the word is Elohim. This is the same plural word used throughout Scripture when you're referencing the Godhead in the Old Testament. Excuse me. In fact, in Genesis 1:1, it uses Elohim when discussing God in the beginning. Now it says, "We have no other Elohim before me." Now, the word "before" in the Hebrew means to have in the presence, or more literally, the face, or to have face to face. So when we consider Exodus 20, verse 3, God is literally telling Moses to give to the people that they are not to place any other gods in his face, to his face, or as his face. With that understanding, it actually makes 1 Samuel 5 a little bit more interesting. Because in 1 Samuel 5, we see the story of when the ark was captured by the Philistines and they brought it before their god, Dagon. And one of the things that they noticed each morning that Dagon was bowing before the ark. Well, why is that? Because no other god can be the face or be face to face with the true God. So what is God reminding his people? And what can we as Christians be reminded of today when we look at Exodus 20 verse 3? Well, God is reminding his people, the Israelites at this time, but even us, the biblical principle, that we are not to look to other gods. But see, when we are looking to other gods, many times we have the mindset that, oh, all we're really doing is just inserting a placeholder for God. But that's not what human nature is. When people are looking to gods, they worship them. They praise them. They're committed to them. They serve them. They beseech them. And the fear that God had with the Israelites, and even what we should learn, is that when we put things before God, it's not just a placeholder. That becomes our Elohim. That becomes to us that which our life is devoted to. Consider what Aaron did with the golden calf. When the golden calf was made, he did not say, oh, this is just some placeholder. But he said what? This is your God that brought you out of Egypt. God is warning the Israelites and even us today that when we put things before him, that we will devote our lives to that thing. But see, we're here devoting our lives to the true God. So when we come and we have this time of communion and reflection on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are acknowledging that Christ is the true God. He is the God that saved us. He is the God, the Redeemer of the world. But it's also a time that we reflect that we are not putting anything else before him, that we are not putting a different face on the true God, that when we are here in remembrance, it's a praise of the way, the truth, and the life, as Jesus accounted in the recording of the Gospel in John. So in our time of communion and reflection, let us make sure that we realize that we're praising the true God, and let's make sure that we have no other gods to take his place. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your blessing. We pray, Lord God, that as we have this time of reflection on the sacrifice of Jesus, that we come because we've been washed and cleansed. And this is a special, sanctified, holy time, Lord. And so we pray, Lord God, that as we reflect, that we remember that there is, as Israel was to have no other gods to be your face or in your presence or to take the place of you, that, Lord God, we pray that we reflect on our lives and realize that we're here to praise and remember the true God, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the gatekeeper. He is the bread of life. So, Father God, we thank you that we can have this time of reflection and communion through your Son and with you. We pray that your mercy and grace would be upon us and that we worship and praise you in all we say and do. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.